Hey, folks, before we start this week's episode, we want to tell you about this special event happening Friday, March 27th at the Hard Rock Cafe here in Seattle as part of the festivities surrounding the Emerald City Comic-Con, Crackle Fest 5, featuring openers Cy Fried and Meg Ran and Seattle area burlesque, not to mention the band Kirby Crackle. Yeah, it's going to be great, man. Did I say burlesque? Yes, I did. It's going to be there, and it was fantastic last year. It's going to be even better this year. And it's hosted by me, Aaron of the Air Raid Podcast. So get your tickets now. They're $10 in advance. You can go to KirbyCracklemusic.com, click on the show poster, it'll take you directly there, or visit our show blog for this here episode and click the link and get your tickets now. Let's do this, man. Let's do it. Let's have a great time together. Okay, let's start the show. Hello and welcome, everyone. Welcome to the Air Raid Podcast. This is episode 240 in what is now officially considered a long and drawn-out series. I am your host, Aaron Roden, and this, of course, is the show where we drop bombs of awesome straight into your ear holes. Yes, indeed, folks, we've got a great show planned for you this week. Tim Wilson of the band Ivan and Alyosha is going to be joining us here in the backyard shortly. We had a great conversation. It's a long one, and I love it. I love this band. I love these guys. They've got a new album coming out May 5th of 2015. It's called It's All Just Pretend, and we're going to be featuring a song from that upcoming album in the episode. So you will not want to miss this, folks. Not want to miss it. We have a great conversation. It's so much fun. So much fun. I love Timmy. Timmy Wilson. He's probably not going to appreciate that I called him Timmy, but, you know, my show. I can do what I want, right? On that note, doing what I want. Got some feedback from some of you listened to last week's episode with Judah Friedlander. Thank you for listening, by the way. A good friend of the show, Camaro Kev of the Stack of Dimes podcast. We were watching a movie over here the other night, and he said, "Hey, I was listening to your show and listening to your story about going to the Olive Garden." And he said, "Don't bullshit me." This is like a direct quote from Camaro Kev. "Don't bullshit me, man. You enjoyed the shit out of that food. How could you not like the free breadsticks and the free salad and stuff like that?" And you know what? You know what, man? He's totally right. I totally did enjoy it, but I felt like I would go the cool route and just take a big steaming dump on Olive Garden, which, low-hanging fruit, right? Low-hanging fruit, taking a dump on the Olive Garden. Yes, I enjoyed the food, okay? I enjoyed it. That's why I ate it. Right, that's why I ate to my heart's content. We had to spend the whole $100 gift card there just to so we wouldn't be going back. And it is what it is, man. Yeah, the breadsticks were good, but the rest of it, subpar. But damn it, if I didn't feel awful the next like few days. Anyway, okay, let's move on. Right, all right. Tickets are still available for Crackle Fest 5 coming up. You heard about it in the pre-roll there. Coming up this upcoming weekend, man, or no, Friday, the 27th at the Hard Rock Cafe here in Seattle. Tickets are $10. Go to KirbyCracklemusic.com, click on the show poster, and get your tickets in advance because it's $13 at the door, and it's going to be great, man. Burlesque. We're going to have some music. We're probably going to be giving away some merch for the bands, and I'm going to be emceeing the event, so come and join me, will you? Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. All right, let's do this. Because this is a longer chat, we're going to get right into it, folks. I hope you guys all had a great weekend, and I hope that the week ahead is looking good for you as well. Let's see. From the 2013 release, All the Times We Had by Ivan and Alyosha. Ivan and Alyosha. This is the song Be Your Man, and we'll be right back with more of the Air Raid Podcast for your ears. Stay with us, folks. Back in a moment. And I want to be the boy who run and tell his baby every time he skins his knee or breaks his toy. I wanna be your boy, be your boy, be your boy. I wanna be your boy, be your boy, be your boy.
And I wanna be the boy who gets you all the pretty little things in your magazines. Oh, it's such a joy. I wanna be your boy, be your boy, be your boy.
Somebody at the front desk when you walk into my office that has just a big bowl of candy. And like I normally stay away from the candy, right? But today I just went fucking crazy. Like I must have grabbed like three full handfuls of like Milky Way minis, you know? And then I had, because I don't eat a lot of sugar, I try to stay away from the carbs.
Yeah.
And this thing popped up on the tip of my tongue like
a filling?
No, like a inflamed like taste bud. Have you ever had that happen on your tongue?
I can't say that I have.
Really?
I don't think so.
Oh my God. It's the weirdest, like kind of most painful thing ever, because it's just this little thing inside your mouth that whenever it rubs up against your tooth or something like that, it's just, it's painful. I'm trying to think that it has nothing to do with tobacco. I'm just hoping it doesn't have anything to do with tobacco and that it's all because of just all the
Milky
chocolate
Way
that I had today.
I'm kind of a Three Musketeers man myself.
Yeah, you know, I had some of those too. And they were great.
Snickers?
No Snickers. I usually go for, I'll usually, like if there's a Milky Way, or maybe $100,000.
Yes.
Available. That's what I'll steer towards, because I like the caramel.
Yeah.
You know? But I also like that like fluffy puffy stuff inside the, you know, the Three Musketeers, which is also in the Milky Way.
What is that, by the way?
Some people call it nougat, but I don't know if that I don't know if that's nougat or not.
Gray sugar.
Gray puffy sugar.
Puffy sugar.
Yeah, marshmallow-like sugar.
I love marshmallows.
You like those too?
I do.
Do you eat Peeps? Are you a Peep guy?
I love Peeps. My 4-year-old loves Peeps too.
Really?
He wants them for breakfast.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Do you don't ever oblige that?
No.
You? Okay, good.
No. What did they want for breakfast today? Fruit leather. They wanted fruit leather for breakfast.
For breakfast.
For breakfast.
Yeah. See,
or Girl Scout cookies.
Well, that's not a crazy request.
No. I think I've done that before.
You can do this as honey, you can do this when you're an adult.
They're delicious.
Yeah, exactly. Oh my God. See, we're getting into the zone here cuz my daughter is 3, about to be 4. Your eldest is 5. Is that what you said?
About to be 5,
about to
April
be 5.
1.
Okay.
And then youngest is 1.5 years.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
You're in it, dude.
It's a trip.
It is a trip. And we're starting to get in, like, I'm getting into the zone where it's like, you know, the 3-year-old is starting to act out, and she knows that she's acting out, but she doesn't give a shit. You know, like she's starting to do things, and, like, she'll look at you. He's like, you just told me not to do this, but I'm doing it anyway. Because what are you going to do about it? You know?
They're bold.
Yeah, yeah.
And they've got an opinion. I mean, I think... Part of that is impressive too, though. You know, they know what they want and they can get it. Most
right.
of the time.
That's right. Yeah, they know how to get it.
You try to discipline. You try to say no.
I know. Yeah, being a dad, man.
Yeah,
being a dad. Tim Wilson of the band Ivan and Alyosha joining us in the backyard. Thank you so much for coming back on the show, man.
Absolutely.
It's really good to see you.
It's very good to see you, too. It's
I think
been too long.
Yeah, it has. I think the last time we saw each other was up at the show in Everett, at a theater in Everett. Or wait, was it Timber?
It was Timber. So yeah, Timber in July, we got down.
Yeah. That wasn't. You guys weren't at this last Timber, though. You were at the first one.
No, I sang a couple songs with the Seattle Rock Orchestra, and then...
Oh, shit, that's right. I did see you.
We decided
that last
to stick around and camp. We weren't. No, we didn't camp. We came back the next day. But
okay.
But yeah, it was it was a blast.
Oh, so much fun!
It's awesome.
So much fun. How did I do?
In
how did
what
I
sense?
Do as the MC?
Oh,
you didn't. Right. You didn't remember.
I don't even.
You
remember.
You don't even remember.
I do remember. It was you. What? Who was it? It was you and Marco Collins.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. On the second day. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
You did a great job. I may have been napping under a shady tree.
Yeah, I bet you were. Let's see, at the end of the Seattle Rock Orchestra thing, I was a little tipsy. And
did you introduce
Charles Bradley?
Charles Bradley.
No, I didn't. That was Marco. Yeah,
okay.
Marco got to do that one.
He was amazing. Charles Bradley was amazing.
Yeah, that was an amazing
show. I was
blown
away.
That was so great. Yeah, it was wonderful. Timber this year is going to be even better, man. You know?
Who's playing?
Matching it up? I can't say.
Oh.
I can't say.
You know. You know,
well,
but you can't say?
I know of some happenings that will be taking place or that might be taking place, but it's still in the works right now. So,
awesome.
Yeah, I can't say, mm-hmm. Tim. Come on.
It's a great festival.
Yeah, man.
Great
it's
people running it.
Yeah. But like after the Seattle Rock Orchestra got done playing,
mm-hmm.
I said something to the effect of, because I was a bit tipsy, let's just put that out there, I was like, Seattle Rock Orchestra, everybody, I could have totally done better than that. And I saw people in the front row, because everybody was just going ape shit, and I saw people in the front row go, what did he just say? What? And I was like, ooh, reel it back. Reel it back, man. Reel it back.
Think.
That's right.
As far as I remember, you did a great
job.
Okay,
good. As far as you can, quote unquote, remember.
Recall.
Yeah, right. Well, Tim, so the last time you you guys, the whole band was on the show a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
Right? And that was when all the times we had was either just out or almost out on Dual Tone Records, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And ever since then, because we are really tight bros on social media.
Yes.
Ever since then, it seems you guys have basically been on tour for like the last 2 years. Is that a fair assessment?
So All the Times came out 2012. We pretty much toured through 2012 and most of 2013, and then 2014, the last time we've been on the road was December 2013.
Oh, 2013.
And then 2014, we were just doing recording. Writing and recording. I did some co-writing trips here and there. Uh-huh, we did recording at some houses and up at the cabin that we record at up at Lake Goodwin. We just kind of pieced it together over about the, you know, past year and a half, and then finally recorded the new record in June, July, August of 2014. So,
and that was down in LA, right?
We did a month in Oklahoma, Norman, Oklahoma.
Okay. Yeah.
With our buddy Chad Copeland. He's got a great studio there. And then we came back, and then we spent July at home, and then we went to Los Angeles for 2 weeks, and we did 2 weeks at Sunset Sound with a guy, a producer named Joe Ciccarelli.
Yeah.
Which was an amazing experience, and then we came home. And
What has Joe done? That name sounds super familiar.
Yeah, I mean, it should. He, I mean, most recently he did Morrissey's record,
okay.
Newest record.
Okay, yeah.
He did The Strokes' newest record.
Dang, man.
He did Icky Thump for White Stripes.
Okay. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, he did some stuff for U2 on pop back in the day.
Oh, wow.
And then the biggest thing for us in the... I mean, we're just huge fans of Joe. He produced Wincing the Night Away with
The Shins.
With James Mercer.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was a big one for us.
Oh, yeah.
And then he did, I think, two records back with Jason Mraz. There's a song called I Won't Give Up.
Okay.
I was a big fan of. So yeah. He's done a ton of stuff. He's a a legend. And
well, that's pretty amazing, dude. So how did that all come about? How did getting to work with him come about?
So let's see. I had talked to Joe for about a year,
just emailing back and forth, just like, hey, would you guys like to work with us, or would you
emailing
like to work with
phone
us?
I reached out to his manager I mean probably a year and a half ago. And his manager got back. I mean, this is pretty much the story, or the long and short of it. Excuse me.
Burps are a bitch. Indigestion.
Indeed. I mean, we were just huge fans of Joe's. Ryan and I had been talking.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm gonna try to find him. I'm just gonna see if I can get a hold of this guy. So I reached out to his manager. His manager emailed back and said, hey, Joe's a fan of the band. Let's chat. So his manager connected us.
How did that feel, by the way?
I mean,
to hear that Joe Ciccarelli was a fan of yours.
I mean, it was amazing. I mean, like, I was just kind of scratching my head going, okay.
Right.
I don't know if it was just BS or what, but Joe had been in Nashville working on, it was either Nashville or Austin, maybe working on the new Spoon record, which he also did.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And he had heard one of our jams on either Lightning 100 or maybe the station in Austin. Anyways, he had heard something on the radio, Running for Cover, I think.
Yeah.
And was interested in chatting about, you know, what was to come, what the next record looked like. Anyways, we had been talking for a year, literally.
Yeah.
About how are we going to do this? We'd love to work together. You know, no budget, indie rock band, no money, and like big time producer guy.
Uh huh. Yeah.
And eventually, you know, it all kind of worked out. Our manager stepped up and kind of paved the way, like punched some numbers.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
figured it out, and we did it, and Joe was gracious enough to like take it on, and I think, you know, what we got out of the process was pretty amazing.
Yeah. That's cool, man. Well,
yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah. New record comes out March 5th, right? Or not March 5th, May 5th.
I was like, yeah, no. May 5, Cinco de Mayo. It's also our, you know, bass player and brother Pete's.
Uh-huh.
What'll he be, 30th birthday or 29 maybe? Maybe 30.
Ooh, you're going to get in trouble. You're going to get in trouble for that.
And hopefully, you know, we'll be doing something that day to celebrate the release and Pete's birthday.
Yeah, man, that's great. Well, it's already been, you know, the single off of it that's been released, All This Wandering Around, which we're going to play here in a little bit, has been making its rounds through NPR and all sorts of places, you know, and getting really great reviews.
Yeah.
Of it. That's got to be pretty exciting, right?
Yeah, you know who the first spin was? Actually KEXP.
Oh, was it?
In Seattle.
Oh, nice.
John,
nice.
I mean, you know, we're not the coolest band in the world. I'll be the first to admit that, you know. There are much cooler bands than us, and I, so we're very...
You guys are pretty square.
'Tis true. I mean, but so, you know, for KEXP to be playing that, you know, the last record and this record.
Yeah.
Is, you know, it's huge to us. And John, I mean, John Richards was, we would joke around like, oh, John Richards plays Wandering every morning at 7:30 AM.
Uh-huh.
But, pretty much he would play it every morning.
Yeah.
The first couple weeks that the single went to radio, and we were just like, again, just kind of scratching our heads like, what in the world? But I mean, dude, we're just thankful. I think that song in particular, I wrote that with a couple of guys who I've known for a little bit, Jason and Jordan Lenning, who one is a great songwriter in Nashville, one's a great producer. Uh-huh. I went down there for a week and was just kind of writing with a bunch of different folks, and that was we wrote that song in 4 hours. We had scheduled,
wow,
4 hours, and then I came back the next day and did the vocal take, some of which we kept for the actual recording.
Yeah.
The,
now, were you writing the music to it too, or just the lyrics?
Yeah, both. We just kind of pounded it out.
Yeah, yeah. So how does that work with the rest of the band? Because like, are they writing their parts to a song like that where like outside people have like helped on the writing?
Yeah, I mean, so
do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, yeah. So, I mean, what's been different on this record is Ryan, Pete, and I pretty much, mm-hmm, wrote an equal amount of material, and then we kind of chose what we felt was strongest.
Mm-hmm.
But in a situation like that where I needed to go and kind of, punch my ticket in the clock a little bit, like home life is one thing, but I wasn't really able to be creative in that environment. So I started doing these writing trips just to really like, all right, we're going to be creative for 4 hours.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I needed to do that to really kind of dig in and write again. But then bringing those songs home, bringing a song like Wandering Home and everybody getting getting excited about it. All we really had is you have this, you know, the chord structure and the lyrics. But then beyond that, you know, when we start playing that as a band, it's like the drummer's going to get in where he feels comfortable.
Right, right.
Ryan's going to write guitar parts over the, you know, chunky piano stuff that's already there. Pete's going to get in on bass. Tim Kim came up with the solo in uh-huh. that particular song.
Yeah.
So as long as everybody's excited about it, you just kind of get in, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Or the harmonies or... It's you know, even similarly, like Pete will write a song, and sometimes people ask me like, "Oh, is that a little weird? Like you're singing somebody else's song?" And it's really not. It's, you know, it's what we get inspired by. If somebody brings a song to the table, Pete wrote Running for Cover. Excuse me, off the last record.
Uh huh.
And that was a song that the first time he played it, everyone was, you know, on board. And
yeah, it's a fantastic song.
Yeah, we were just excited about it. And
yeah, yeah.
It was immediate. And it was just like, oh my, you know, oh my gosh, I want to sing this song.
Yeah.
And that's the inspiration. And then you kind of, then from the song, from chords and lyrics, you build the full band experience. So
sure, sure.
I don't think there's ever been, any sort of like... any sort of friction as far as like, oh, you wrote this song with these other dudes and, you know.
So you knew exactly where I was going with that line of questioning, didn't you?
Yeah, yeah. There's other bands and things that we've talked to that, you know, people want to sing what they've written.
Sure.
Because otherwise it doesn't feel as, you know,
authentic or yeah, yeah.
Heartfelt. But for me, I mean... A great song is a great song.
Sure.
And at the end of the day, I feel like I'm a singer before I'm a writer, and I want to sing great songs.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
And I'm happy to write. I'm happy when I write great songs.
Yeah.
Or good songs.
Well, that makes a lot of sense to me because I always fancied myself as a decent singer. I'm not going to say that, you know, of course I'm not, I'm not in any sort of successful band or anything like that.
Well, let's hear it.
But no. But you know, I was a decent singer. I had kind of a nice, soft, kind of folksy kind of voice that mm-hmm. I used in college. And but I couldn't write a song worth shit. Like I could not write lyrics. They were always just the cheesiest damn things that anybody had ever heard. You know? And it was just awful. It was just awful. And so that makes a lot of sense to me. Like, it, you know, seeking outside help or going to a workshop or going elsewhere to, you know, write something along with somebody who might have some chops.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think that's a really cool thing to get to do too.
For me, it was, it was just kind of where my life had gone and just like, you know, maybe, you know, 5-7 years ago, I could find a day or two to like be on my own and write.
Sure. Yeah.
But I just couldn't find it.
Do you think that's what it is? Like time, it's just time to be alone with your thoughts for something like that, because you're a dad and you have, you know, you have these responsibilities of being a father and things like that. Is that,
yeah, I mean,
time to find, or to find the time to do that kind of stuff.
I mean, also, you know, we spend a lot of time on the road, and when I come home, and when most of us come home, you know, the last thing I want to see is a guitar.
Right.
And the last thing I want to do is sit down and try to...
work something out.
Yeah. Because, I mean, for better or for worse, at some point, it's a job.
Yeah.
It is, and sometimes people don't like to hear that, you know, as far as, you know, music or the arts go, but I don't think a lot of people realize what a grind it is and how taxing it is, just like...
Well, sure.
Physically, psychologically, emotionally, spiritually, relationally, whatever, being on the road and just kind of just grinding it out, you know, and it's a beautiful thing, but... a lot of times you've got to have some rest after that grind.
Sure.
And in the last couple of years, I've found it hard to really like recover and then be like, all right, you know, I want to write, I want to create. And I think, you know, there's just a lot of other nonsense that goes along with like, trying to make a buck doing music.
Yeah.
Or just anything for creative. Sure. Anything creative, you know?
Yeah. Are you guys making a buck at playing music?
Yeah. I mean, we do, when we go out on the road, it makes a whole lot more sense when money's coming in every night. It gets a little trickier when we're home trying to write and record, and there's a lot more money getting burned quicker.
Oh yeah. Yeah, totally.
But I mean, it comes in quick and it goes out quick. So I don't think it's, you know, it's not unlike any other small business. You have good times, you got bad times.
Yeah.
But we keep on building it, and I'm thankful that, you know, it continues to make sense.
Yeah. Well, and that's what I was going to ask too. Like, because you guys, you really did, in my mind, you guys toured a lot for a little bit, you know. I have a weird timeline in my brain, like where I will see something on, you know, social media or something like 2 years ago, and I'll think it happened yesterday.
Yes.
You know, so that's kind of where this is all coming from. But you guys did tour quite a bit when your first record came out.
Yes.
For 2 years there, you said, or for a year and a half. Mm-hmm. And you know, did that in any way kind of click in your head as something like, oh, this is what this is,
you know? Okay. So what's,
this is the reality.
Yeah.
Right.
Interestingly enough, I believe is how you say it.
Proper terminology. Yeah.
So we had put out an EP called Fathers Be Kind in 2010, maybe.
I remember that, yeah.
And then, so after we recorded that, put that out, we hit the road and did a similar year and a half, 2 years off and on the road for that record. For an EP, but we kind of kept on getting offers on the road. We went,
to play different venues
or with different artists. We went out with Brandi Carlile. Out with, I think Amy Mann was the first artist we supported on the road. Uh-huh. And then it was John Vanderslice that we supported. And then we supported Amy Mann. And then we went out with Brandi Carlile.
So you had gotten a taste of that.
We had gotten a taste of the grind, and we had gotten a taste of the grind with like zero money coming in.
Sure.
Kind of a thing.
Yeah.
So I think when we started touring for all the times we had, our expectation was grind, zero dough, 50 people showing up to our shows.
Right.
And then when people started playing, you know, when KCRW and Lightning 100 in Nashville, KCRW's in LA.
Right.
WNRN.
KEXP.
Out East, KEXP started supporting Running for Cover, and people started showing up to shows, and instead of selling 50 tickets, we're selling 500. You know, we were pleasantly surprised by all of that, and that was some real growth. So I think it was
It made the grind worth it, basically.
Yeah, it was still a grind, and we were still driving through the night to get to like the morning drive, 7:30 a.m. like play two songs at the radio station, kind of a thing. But we were kind of conditioned for that grind because of what we had gone through a couple years before.
Yeah,
And I think now, several years later, I think we really, we know what's coming.
Yeah.
But I mean, in kind of a, you know, in a good and bad, you know, way, we know that some growth is coming. We know that a lot of hard work is coming, but
sure.
we expect it, and in a lot of ways, when you get out there, you thrive on it. The kind of the craziness of it all, but
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
At the end of the day, it's still a grind, still hard work, and it's not as sexy or nearly as sexy as people think it is.
So what you're saying is it's a little bit sexy.
It's 5% sexy.
Yeah. Yeah. It just smells like a bunch of dudes in a van. That's what it is.
Sleeping.
That's right. All right. Well, let's do this. Let's go with our second musical break. This is from the new record. This song is called All This Wandering Around. Right?
Indeed.
What's the record called?
Record is called It's All Just Pretend.
And it's due out on the 5th of May. Cinco de Mayo.
Cinco de Mayo.
Yeah, yeah. So go to ivanandalyosha.com. We'll have a link there at the show blog. And you can find out more about the band and follow them on Facebook and Twitter. Okay, All This Wandering Around. And we'll be right back with more of the Air Raid Podcast for your ears. Stay with us. Can't you come home? I'm sorry. Touring is the most interesting thing for me. Like, I always dreamed of going on a tour with my buds in the band, you know, and it never happened. And so I love hearing about touring and, like, the ins and outs of how it all works and everything like that. So with your brother in the band, and I think I asked you guys this when you came on the show a couple years ago, having a little brother in the band, being around him at all times, does it ever get tense in the van with you two, or are you guys past that?
I would say we've had some moments of tension in years past, but not recently. I feel like, you know, when we go out, Pete sleeps most of the day. I just threw him under the bus, but I think he will think that is more funny than offensive.
That's great.
But
makes me love him even more.
I mean, I want to say, I mean, I would hope that, you know, if somebody came out and saw kind of the dynamic between the band members and such, like, we give each other a certain amount of space and respect, I hope.
Sure.
But at the same time, I feel like we're still doing this because we are brothers, you know, and we're all brothers. I feel like if these were guys that I started a band with and had little history with and a lack of friendship, that it would be a lot easier to just say, peace, I'm out of here.
Right. Well, I guess, you know, that makes a lot of sense as well, because, you know, with a sibling, you can kind of patch things up easier.
Yeah, you have to.
You know, it's like you spent a lifetime with each other.
Yeah.
Like you can, you know, if somebody doesn't agree with somebody or a mini fight breaks out or something like that, it's like, you know, things are probably going to be, if you guys have a strong relationship, things are probably going to be fine.
Yeah, I mean.
You can figure it out, right?
It's, I mean, the older I get, you know, just the history of it all, you know? I want, you know, a lot of my friends are people that I've known my whole life, that I grew up with. I met my wife through a close friend, you know, close to my brothers and my folks. And, you know, I at the end of the day, I even joke around sometimes with, you know, a lot of my closer friends are some of the people that I disagree with most. You know, because you have that rapport, you have that history.
Sure.
That you do, it's almost like you do have enough respect for each other to not just end it at that, at some sort of confrontation, or you patch it up because you've got that history and you want to save that relationship. But, you know, I don't know. I think that's really, the older I get, just kind of the more history I want with people or my craft, or the more I just want to kind of keep on giving myself to the things that I have been giving myself to for the last several years or 20 years or whatever. I love the high school I went to, you know, I love the house that I grew up in.
Are you the type of guy that looks forward to going to the high school reunion? Did you go to your high school reunion?
I did. I went to my 10-year.
Oh, my God.
Okay. To answer your question, I've been waiting for the invite to the 15-year, which should happen this summer. I have not gotten it yet. I mean, that's kind of... So, I mean, my
what are you going to do if you don't get it?
I should. I mean.
Yeah, but what if it doesn't come? Is it okay? I'm the devil on your shoulder right now. It's like, wait a minute.
Then I'm probably gonna pull together kind of like a little cocktail mixer.
Yeah.
2015, 15-year reunion. But I mean, I think, you know, man, you know, there's not enough time in the day. A lot of times I don't even get to see the friends I do have.
Well, sure. Yeah. That's what I was going to say. Like, I mean, you guys are working really hard on this and this. I mean, you doing this record for the last year has probably taken up quite a bit of time, and especially having to go, or, you know, not having to, but you guys chose to go down to LA and work down there and everything like that with Joe. And I mean, yeah, some relationships aren't necessarily going to suffer, but you aren't going to see the people as much, right? Because when you get back, you want to be with your family.
Yeah, true. Yeah. And I will say, I mean, probably, you know, the best friend that I grew up with, who lives in like the Renton area, we probably see each other every 4 to 6 months.
Sure.
It's just one of those things where you literally... you know, pick up where you left off.
Right.
You know, and there's no awkwardness, or even family that I grew up with, or cousins, or that I don't get to see that much. But I mean, it's not, honestly, again, it's not unlike any other busy human being where you've got,
sure.
You've got your family, you've got, you know, you see your coworkers every day for better or worse. And not a lot of time in the day in the Northwest to do much else, and like, I don't know, try to make a buck and come home and spend some time with your family and then like do yard work or
which we were talking about earlier before we started recording.
Shave your face and take a shower and go to bed.
That's true, man. That's true. Yeah.
But I'm thankful that life is long.
Yeah, yeah. You know? Well, let's hope so.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you quit smoking, you quit you cut down on the drinking.
Yes.
Everything like that, which I'm still working on myself. Still thinking about that little sore on the tip of my tongue. I might have to get this checked out.
Yes, I'm a hypochondriac as well.
Are you? Do you get a little freaked out when you get sick?
Yeah, I mean,
it's always creepy. That's that little thought in the back of your mind that says, this is something else.
What's wrong with me?
This is not a cold. This is something more serious.
Yeah. Yeah. No, but my wife always makes fun of me and she says, you're fine. But
yeah,
which is good.
Yeah, right, right. Yeah. I always get my wife is the type of person that's always like, oh my God, it's cancer. Like it says, you know, she's always like, she'll get sick and she's like, do you think I need to go to the doctor? She still powers through it way better than I do. Like I get a cold and I'm flat out. I was like, I need to stay in bed all day and watch Archer on Netflix. And you know,
yes, women are resilient.
Yes, yeah.
Beautiful creatures.
Exactly. Way stronger than dudes.
Agreed.
Yeah, yeah. But she'll go straight for, like, you know, when she gets sick or something, or like her, you know, something sore, a joint is sore or something, she'll look it up on WebMD, and then it's instantly, it's like, you know, anything on WebMD is going to go straight to cancer, you know?
Yes.
Have you ever done that? Ever looked into like WebMD to try to like diagnose yourself with something?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think I eventually talked to a doctor about it down at Ballard Swedish.
Uh-huh.
And he was like, well, tell me a little bit about your schedule and your family. And, you know, I said two kids and he was like, oh, well, that'll do it.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm exhausted. And he's like, do you have kids?
Yeah. You're tired, man. Get over yourself.
Yes. These are good things to hear. Get over yourself.
That's right. That's right. Totally. So how's your family doing, man? Like they deal pretty well with you being on the road and being out of town.
Yeah. I mean, again, resilient wife and positive, you know, encouraging. You know, there's a lot of stuff to figure most of the time. And a lot of times it doesn't work. And, but we've kind of taken on the MO that like, well, it doesn't work, but we have to make it work.
Right. Right.
And a lot of things, you know, we're always kind of willing to give to it if it'll push it along. And she knows that, that, you know, I want to stay in it and be a part of it. And whether it's, you know, last year I traveled to South by Southwest. We weren't actually playing the festival and, but, just wanted to be there and be a part of it. And
yeah.
And she, you know, she's cool with that. And anyways, yeah, my wife's a second grade teacher in Mukilteo and, you know, there's a lot of, I don't know, you just figure it out, you know?
Yeah, yeah, you make it work, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think earlier on it was more, and I've said this a couple times recently, but I do feel like with the band stuff or music stuff, it was more life or death, like, this has to work, you know? We're going on the road, the whole family's coming with because we can't be apart for two weeks.
Right,
or a month. But now it's just, you know, it is kind of what we do. And
You adapt
and you kind of you build that muscle, you know, you stress it, you work it.
Yeah.
And it breaks and then it heals.
Uh-huh.
And then you keep on working that muscle. And
I like that analogy.
Yeah. I mean, it's just a muscle. It's the voice or the fingers or the mind.
Yeah.
Or,
yeah.
The heart.
Totally.
You just keep on, or the patience with it all.
Yeah.
You just kind of persevere and I don't pretend to know much beyond just kind of if you're passionate about it and maybe have some giftedness in a certain area,
uh-huh,
just kind of keep on doing it.
Yeah, yeah. I like that.
And maybe eventually people will pay you to do it.
Yeah, yeah. So is that, I mean, what's the goal for you now? Like, what would you say, you know, is the ultimate goal? Have you achieved at least a bit of it? Or you do you feel like you guys are still far away from what you would consider your goal?
I mean, I think practically speaking, you know, you just... most of the arts are able to survive due to beneficiaries.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people with money giving money to the arts that they want to give money to.
Sure.
I think for a band, we have had some successes in certain areas, and that's great. But I think just getting to a place where it's financially sustainable, which is hard if you take a year off to record a record.
Right,
you know?
Right.
To support 5 band members, you know, lawyer, manager, label, whatever.
Yeah.
And then pay for that record.
Oh, my God.
And then, you know, not to mention wives and kids and stuff. But so that's, I mean, you know, as far as how much is too much, it's, you know, I mean, I think there's a certain level that we could get to as a band in the next couple of years. It could be really sustainable.
Uh-huh.
And I think long term, we want to be a band that, you know, we've always said, you know, early on, we were, you know, we want to be a theater band. We want to be a 2,000-4,000 people a night band.
Yeah.
We don't need to be the biggest band in the world, but I do think that if we keep on making good records, we could be a household name. And I think there's a lot of people that do consider INA a household name already.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, and as it is, we can go to most major cities and sell 500 tickets a night, and that blows us away.
That's a huge accomplishment, man.
Yeah, I mean, and then what's funny though is then we'll go play Toledo, Ohio or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, we'll play for the bartenders.
Yeah, yeah.
And we feel bad because they gave us a $700 guarantee. But that's the thing is,
don't feel bad about that.
You know, a lot of bands we've toured with,
yeah,
have been doing it for decades, you
yeah,
know, we toured
yeah.
with this band Need to Breathe last fall.
Uh-huh.
They've been a band for 15 years.
Yeah.
Know? And they're in a bus and doing their thing and still coming out and talking to fans though after the show and being good to people. But I mean, that's what we, you know, that's where we want to be. That's
yeah.
kind of the game we want to play. And I think in the indie world, like, I always say, like, we've been an indie band by default, you know?
Yeah.
We've always been swinging for the fences. But, you know, our budgets have not necessarily matched our ambitions.
Right, right.
So.
Yeah.
But.
Well, it seems like, I mean, you know, just from what I've heard of the new album out May 5th, I mean, it sounds really good.
Thank you.
And I'm very excited about it. And Are you guys excited about it too? Like, do you think that this is going to be something big for you, or is it just another step in the right direction?
I mean, both. We're certainly, I mean, if I'm honest, we're a lot more excited about it than we were all the times we had.
Oh, really?
By the
time
that was
a freaking great record too.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I mean, by the time we'd recorded all the times, we had played those songs for a while on the road.
Mm-hmm.
And then we recorded them, and then immediately when we were done with that process, we were like, all right, we want to record another record.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, we're kind of over this. We want to record another one. But with this record, I feel like we've matured to a point where we captured some really great performances mm-hmm. and some really great production. I think the songs have always been, we've never been the greatest band in the world, but the songs I think are what people gravitate to. The yeah. songs and yeah. like when we get out on the road and we have conversations with people every night, it's the dudes in the band. Just like, that's the biggest, you know, biggest thing to us is when we can get down with people after the show, you know?
Yeah, sure. Sure.
They connect to the songs, they come out to the show, and then they connect to us. But this record in particular, I think the songwriting, the performances, and the production came together in a way that they haven't before.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's why I think that we are excited about this record more so than we have been.
I think you should be, man. I think it's sounding really good, and I'm super excited. Super thank excited you. For you.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, yeah.
I think too, like we've cut our teeth. You know, we've come to this point, and you know, Ryan and I started the band, or we started talking about it back in 2007 or whatever, and mm-hmm. now we've come to this place where, you know, comfortable with what we can do with, you know, our abilities or just developing what we do and the experience and the knowledge of
yeah.
whatever, being on the road or being a part of the industry, whatever. I think it's kind of a good launching off place to be. I guess.
Yeah. Well, it's got to be very prideful too. I mean, what you guys have accomplished thus far, you got to be pretty proud about that.
Yeah, I mean, it's humbling too, you know.
Yeah, yeah,
it's
totally.
It's been a lot of, I mean, at our peak. I mean, interestingly enough, like at our peak on the last record cycle, we got everything stolen from us on the road.
Oh, I remember hearing about that. Oh my God.
So it's kind of, you know, it's just like, it's life. at your finest, you get the yeah. rug pulled out from under
you. Oh my God. Now, was that like equipment that you guys had for a really long time? Were there any like real keepsake kind of guitars in there?
Yeah, there.
That got ripped off?
There was, oh my God. You know, clothes.
Yeah.
And
literally everything.
Yeah. And everything, including, you know, we had borrowed pieces of gear from other people.
Oh no.
That was probably more devastating and damaging
uh-huh. yeah.
than anything else.
I had totally forgotten about that. So that was like mid tour, right?
Yeah, that was mid tour. It was kind of, I don't even remember when that was. It was the summer maybe
uh-huh.
of 2013. But yeah, just devastating. And we learned a lot through that. And
yeah,
man, we got, I mean,
how did they do it? Did they steal the whole vehicle plus the U-Haul
stole
trailer?
The vehicle and the trailer. Uh-huh. We had a GPS. I mean, the guy who sold us the van had a GPS on it just in case we didn't pay the bill on the van.
Okay.
He had GPS on the van.
So were you able to track it?
We tracked it, but they had cut the trailer or cut the chains off the trailer and put the trailer on another vehicle.
Oh. So they got the van back.
We got the van back.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and drove that home, but yeah, just devastating. And
oh,
I mean,
God, that's terrible.
It's one of those things is, you know, and people reached out and supported us, and man, it was a fascinating, confusing experience, because then we had people reaching out, supporting us, giving us more, you know, the shirts off their backs, and then
yeah,
you had,
yeah.
and then we had some people who were like, you know, throwing us under the bus for not insuring you know, some of our gear and or how much gear we had on the road. It was kind of like, it was this moment, it was this blessing and curse where it was kind of our, the exposure of the band went up 20-fold because
right.
this had happened.
Yeah.
But then there was like, there was mixed reviews.
Right, I should right. say. People were well, I mean, that's with anything. Like, you wouldn't think like a guy like me just doing this show in his backyard would get hate mail. But I do. I fucking get hate mail.
That's unfortunate.
You know, and it's like, then don't fucking listen to the show. You don't like the interview, you don't listen to the show. Same
yeah.
thing with what happened to you guys. You know, like,
yeah.
keep your comments to yourself, man. Don't kick people while they're down. It's ridiculous.
And that's always been a concerning thing is, you know, I think the guys in this band, you know, I feel like our, you know, egos and whatever, for the most part, are managed and, almost maybe to a fault, but like, you know, if you put yourself out there,
yeah,
you write some songs, you do some interviews or whatever,
it's gonna happen, right?
I pray to God that people don't like pick up on something and they're like, oh my gosh, this guy, you know,
what an asshole.
Yeah, and you know, start the personal attacks and stuff.
Right,
I think, again, maybe, you know, you put yourself out there and you have to be prepared for some of that.
Yeah, but. you do to a certain extent, but there are limits. Like, I mean, you know, people still have to realize that, you know, we're all humans here.
Absolutely.
Right? You know, you treat other humans with respect. If you want to have a conversation about something
yeah.
you don't agree with, then so be it. Let's have a conversation.
Absolutely. But, I mean, I think that's the thing too, is when that criticism comes from people that you don't know, it's unfortunate because,
right.
you know, if somebody asked me, you know, what's Aaron Rodden like, you know, hey, I know the guy, he's a cool guy, like, sweet dude.
Yeah, super sexy. That's what...
Extremely attractive. But, you know, you'd rather have people that know you commenting or, you know, reviewing your life.
Sure, yeah,
But
totally,
if someone picks
totally.
A lyric out of a song or something out of an interview or whatever, or, you know... Somebody thinks you've brushed them off at a show and
right,
you know, forever you are, they
dead
write,
to
they
them.
Write you off. You're dead to them. But
yeah.
I think, you know, man, hopefully I would never say anything, you know, about anyone that I didn't know.
Right, right. Well, yeah. You're in luck, man, because this is a podcast and I have the ability to edit all of the stuff you said about Morrissey out of
beautiful.
This.
Yeah, yeah. Yes.
Well, Tim, I hate to leave it on this note, but we've got to, because you've got to get out of here. But I really appreciate you coming in. And like I said, I'm very excited for the new album to come out May 5th. It's All Just Pretend by Ivan and Alyosha comes out, let's see, nationwide release?
Yeah, anywhere okay. you can buy music,
all
I'm
right.
guessing.
That's fantastic, man.
I think
man.
So, yeah.
And would you care to plug your wares here? Where else can we find out about Ivan and Alyosha?
You know, the Facebook uh-huh. slash, facebook.com/ Ivan and Alyosha, A-N-D spelled out. Twitter, our website, which has a beautiful picture of the album cover and
yeah,
the
that
release
is a really
date.
That is a really cool picture.
Yeah, our buddy right Jordan now. Butcher did the art, the design for the record.
Yeah, yeah, I like it.
Excited to see that
That's
on vinyl.
IvanandAlyosha.com. Well, thank you, Tim, once again, dude. This has been fantastic, and it's good to see you again.
Very good to see
yeah.
you.
Yeah, and I'm glad to hear that you are as tired as I am.
Indeed.
And remember, you can subscribe to the Air Raid podcast on iTunes, and if you do, please take a moment to rate the show. We really appreciate that. We're also available on the Stitcher, TuneIn, and Cairo Radio apps, or just visit www.air-raid.net to subscribe directly to our RSS feed, and you can also access all of our episodes and at the Archives tab right there. Keep in touch with us by liking our Facebook page at facebook.com/the Air Raid Podcast, or our Twitter handle is at Air Raid Net. You can follow us there. Our email is Aaron, A-A-R-O-N, at air-raid.net. And remember to take the pledge, people. Pledge to tell someone about the show. Tell your friends, your mother, your sister, your brother, or even your cousins. Yes, yes, we'll even take cousins. We're going to close the episode with the song Running for Cover by Ivan and Alyosha off of the album All the Times We Had. Thank you guys for listening. Here is your inspirational quote of the week, as said by a 3.5-year-old.
Shine. Stars can't shine without darkness.
All right. Thanks for listening, everyone. Have a great week. If you could find